But I want you to think about the final words of Jesus. I want you to think about that. And do you understand the importance of final words? You know, have you had those loved ones who have passed away? And do you not try to remember the last thing they said to you? I mean, you just think about some loved one of yours, some person that was special to you, and the very last thing they said, I don't know why. When my dad died, I tried to go back, and I tried to remember the very last thing that I remember some of the last things that he said the day before he died. We spent about 3 hours just talking about the Lord and about life and about the church. Man, I wouldn't take anything at all for that. Those last things that are said to us, they're really, really important. And let me tell you this. If you knew you were going to die and had to have one more conversation with everybody, isn't there something you would like to say? Think about the last words you'd like to say to those around you. That's why husbands or wives, every time you leave the house, you ought to go find your mate and say, honey, I love you, because that may be the last thing that you'll ever be able to say to them. And what great advice that is, just in a marriage relationship, and you can take it beyond husbands and wife and in every relationship. But are there not some things that are really important that if I just say one more time what I wanted to say, this is what I'd like to say to you. Those things are important, but not only are they important, they give a lasting memory. We just talked about it, did we not? I remember the last thing my dad said to me. I remember the last thing an uncle said to me. Or maybe the last thing, you know, that was said to you by a close friend. It forms an important, lasting memory. And sometimes those things that are said are of vital importance because the person may be there realizing this may be the last time they'll ever see you. What about Jesus? Not the last words that he said before he went to the cross and while he was in the upper room there, some great laughs, but he was resurrected. But when Jesus was ready to leave and head back to heaven, you know, after his resurrection, for 40 days he was on this earth walking on and talking to the disciples about the Lord and about the kingdom and about spiritual things. And then he had that final conversation. What's the last thing Jesus said before he left this earth? Don't you think that ought to be something of importance and something that we ought to pay attention to? That the last things. Well, look in the book of Luke. And these verses were read to you from the book of Luke, and we didn't have time to examine all of those verses that were read. But Jesus has led them out to Bethany. That's just right there where the Mount of Olives is. He's on the top of the Mount of Olives, and just as almost as he finishes these words, he's going to ascend in the clouds and he's going to go back to heaven. And here's the last thing Jesus said in Luke's account. Look at it. It was necessary. What? Oh, it was necessary that the Christ should die, suffer and die, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that's a coordinate conjunction, makes those things equal. It is just as necessary for the fact that Christ had to die and be buried and raised again the third day. It is just that of that same importance that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in all the world. That's his last words. Now you think about it. He's leaving the earth and they are the apostles and they're standing there and he says, and he said a lot of things to them throughout of all of his life, and he's right there, the final words, and he says, guys, here it is. It is imperative. It is imperative that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in all the world. Now, you see, we have the life of Jesus told in four different places. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John does not tell us specifically about his ascension, about this day when he ascended into heaven, but Mark does. And Mark records the last words of Jesus when he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then skipping down to verse 19, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and because it was necessary They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. His last words. Doesn't that say that's really, really important? What's the most important thing Jesus ever said? Well, there may be things that equal this in importance. You know, the greatest commandment and the second commandment. But even that greatest commandment, the second commandment, is tied right in to the fact that you guys have the gospel of Jesus, and it's your responsibility to go to every creature under earth. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, Matthew records his life. And when Matthew records his life, what does Matthew say? Well, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You know, this just highlights the importance of this. Guys, you got to listen to me. Why? I've got all of the authority there is in heaven, all the authority there is in earth. And here is the imperative that I give to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's the last words in Matthew. Same concept at all. I have every bit of the authority in heaven. It is necessary, is the way Luke says it. And Jesus said, the greatest authority there is on this earth is to go and teach all nations. Now you baptize them and you teach them. You teach them to do whatever I have told you to do. Because you see, there is that continuation of this imperative that Jesus gave. What did he tell them to do? Necessary to preach the gospel everywhere. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Go make disciples of all nations. And so you look, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, go and make disciples. Now if you look on the screen, you'll see the word Jesus is highlighted in one color, the word them in another, and disciples in a third one, because we're trying to emphasize that you go from one generation to another generation to another generation to another generation. And so the commandment goes from Jesus to the apostles. And the apostles then take it to all the nations. Now remember, he says, when you baptize them, you teach them to do whatever I've commanded you to do. And so they were to teach the next nation, to teach the next nation, to teach the next nation. And folks, it never ends. You got some parallel concept over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says to a young preacher, Timothy, the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And there it is again, from generation to generation. There's Paul. Paul's in verse 2. He says, you heard it from me, Timothy. And from Timothy, I've given it to you. Now you give it to faithful men, and they in turn will give it to the others. From Paul to Timothy to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation, it never, ever, ever ends. Well, folks, if that's true, if what we've said thus far in this lesson is true, then it comes from generation to generation to generation, and it arrives right here at Palm Beach Lakes. The most important thing that Jesus said before he left this earth had to do with the evangelizing of the world, getting the gospel out to all of the world. And you and I need to have an appreciation of how important that is, because you look at those verses. Jesus said to the apostles, go to all nations, and go to the next nation, and to the next nation, and to the next nation, and to Palm Beach Lakes. And from Palm Beach Lakes, the imperative of the Lord is, you take this gospel to all the nations, and you teach them to carry it to all the nations. That's really what mission work is all about. And the same thing in reference to Paul's words to Timothy. Timothy, you've learned it from me. Timothy, you need to teach it to others. Who will teach it to others? Who will teach it to others? Who will ultimately teach it to those folks in Palm Beach Lakes, who then in turn will go into all the world and teach all the world to carry on this great commission. Folks, it is just as necessary to proclaim the message of his death as it is for his death to take place. Think about it. If the world does not know of the cross, he may as well have not died, because there'd be no salvation. And that's really why this the final words of Jesus are, You go teach the whole world from Jesus to generation to generation to generation to generation, and ultimately here to Palm Beach Lakes. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what's happening here in the commandment of Jesus to Palm Beach Lakes. Go into all the world and preach. If Jesus were here right now and he had a final word he wanted to give, you think he'd change? If Jesus were here today, if Jesus were proclaiming today, do you think he's taught us a lot of things, but the final message he wants to leave with the church, with those disciples, just before the church was begun, you go into all the world to preach the gospel. I think many of you, if have been here for the 6 years we've done Mission Sunday, will understand the basic principle that lies behind Mission Sunday. Sometimes those who come in later really fail to understand it. And so let's never lose sight of what Mission Sunday was all about. Mission Sunday came about because 6 or 7 years ago the elder said, how are we doing all that we can to evangelize the world? And I thank God for elders who have a vision of the world and a vision of this church and a place where this church... And I thank God that you're praying that God will give the elders wisdom as they lead us in the paths of righteousness. And so they kept saying, how can we do more? And the burden of this great commandment to carry the gospel to every creature was upon them. And so they began to look, and it was in... they decided that here's what we will do. We will set aside one Sunday of the year, and every dollar that's given on that Sunday will be devoted to evangelism. And we've got to understand the underlying principle of this. As far as the elders talked about what we'd been doing prior to Mission Sunday, we were averaging up, the exact number was $50,056 is what we gave in the year 2003. So we gave, the elder said, can we do more than that? Here was their plan. We'll take out that $50,000 out of the weekly budget. We'll run the church on the 51-week budget. And we'll just ask the church, can you give $50,000 on that day? And whatever you give that day will be devoted to mission work. You know what happened? The first Sunday, you, the body of Jesus, gave 2.5 times for mission work that we'd ever given. That's a marvelous thing. You see, this money doesn't exist. We had our weekly contribution. We were doing our weekly contribution. Somebody said, why don't we just take all that Mission Sunday money? It doesn't exist unless you have Mission Sunday money. And it's for mission work. And the thrilling thing is that the average for the 6 years is that we have averaged $116,718 on Mission Sunday. Are you ready? This church, as a result of the vision of elders and the generosity and the fact that you want to get the gospel to all the world, this congregation has given $700,000 for evangelism. Amen. Who would ever dreamed it? Who would have ever thought in 2003, in the early part of 2004, when we started talking about Mission Sunday, who would have ever dreamed that this folk doesn't have the rich folks in it? They must be somewhere else. But you understand that all of us, just digging down, giving liberally, making sacrifices, who would have ever dreamed that within 7 years, we would approach $800,000 to evangelize the world? Well, let's go back and look at the building, and then as we look at the building, let's try to use it, not as a pyramid this year, let's use the building as our pyramid to show what's happening. Let's first talk about the work that we're doing with Nana Afforji. Nana is over in Nigeria. And we're supporting it. Interesting how this came about. D. Manwaring, years ago, was doing a Bible correspondence course, and he found a preacher over there, and he says, this guy is worthy of our support. And so because of D.'s appreciation for him and the elders' concern about event, we started giving. It's, how much do we give, Joe? $100, $150 a month or something like that? But for him, it's a livelihood. And how thrilled that we are to see the good that's come out of that. And it's not that the money's going to happen. We don't know anything about it. Ted Wheeler's been over there and goes very often and gives us reports. He's a brother in Christ. And 2 years ago, Josh Blackburn went over there and met this very brother and saw all of this going on. We know the stability of this work. And so when we think about carrying the gospel into all the world, and we talk about carrying the gospel into all the world, we've got to understand that's exactly what's happening. It's not that money's being sent over there and there's an irresponsibility, and how do we know that it's being used? Because we're there and we get these reports and the confirmation of the reports when those men go over there. And then there's that other work that's there, and that is Tomuka. Tomuka's down in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is practically a communist country. The communists run the country. And the economy is in an unbelievable situation. His support came about initially from D. Manwaring again, who said, down in another nation, there's another brother that's there. The situation down there, and by the way, we get all of these great, great reports that come from him, and we are really, really thankful. Now, let me just show you just a listing of the kinds of reports that we get. We know what's going on there. What we may not be aware of is the economy that's there. You know what the inflation rate in America is? Is it 3%, 5%? Somebody help me. How many? 3%. You know what it is in Zimbabwe? You're not going to believe this. I took the smaller number. 11.2 million percent every year. We've got a brother over there that is suffering. He is serving the Lord like you wouldn't believe. And he's not a man over there that has his hands out saying, give me more, give me more, and give me more. I don't know how the guy's surviving. We have increased what we're sending him just because if he goes in and buys a loaf of bread, it takes a pile of money this big. He needs a truck. He needs tires on his truck. And here, let me just read some of the things that he said. This is from 2008, at the end of the year, he said, it's hard to predict our economy is so bad that we cannot even budget. I mean, you think about an 11 million inflation rate, what's a loaf of bread going to cost next week? And the same thing as he talks about if in 2009 we have many plans that includes the planning of two congregations. And so we have these congregations that are established. And he's now working with three congregations. The number, he's got the attendance numbers that are there. The weekly contribution is $10 to $25. There's another two congregation. Their weekly contribution is $2 a week. And folks, they're giving. And we're a part of that. In fact, he mentioned one of those congregations in Zimbabwe. And you know how in third world countries, how receptive people are to the gospel. In the Hinzaman congregation, and one day they had 15 baptisms. It is a thrilling, thrilling work. Cannot spend all of our time there. Go back to Palm Beach Lakes and start building that pyramid again. And there's what's happened over at Marsh Harbor. We could talk so much about Marsh Harbor. You know, we've been associated with Marsh Harbor. But the great thing is, we've told Marsh Harbor, look, here's the way we're going to do mission work. We're going to slowly decrease the amount of money that we're sending so that you, brethren, can take over that work and you'll own the work. And that's the only way I know to do mission work. You don't just forever send money and send money and send money. They get so dependent on it, they're not going to stand on their own. And so we said that to Marsh Harbor, and we've been cutting our support 25% a year. You know what's been happening in Marsh Harbor. If you come on Wednesday night, remember how many cards we sent over there? And think of the trips that members of this church have gone over there to work on the building and to do teachings and things of that nature. This past year, as a result of Mission Sunday, our ladies went over and conducted a ladies' day, and I was able to go over and conduct a seminar on the matter of standing on your own and being autonomous and living without American money and helping the church. You should have seen how receptive those brethren were. And Jeff has talked about that male leadership that's there. You cannot get over it, can you, Jeff? 4 or 5 years ago, on the men of the church, except Jason who was there. And now there are probably more men of the church over there now than women, and almost every one of them is participating publicly in worship. That's the way to do mission work. You don't just pour money in, and we could talk forever and ever about that. But we don't want to spend all of that time. Let's go out in the South Pacific. Let's come back to our building and talk about what's happening in the South Pacific. And that's Joey Treat out in Saipan. We supported him since about 2004, and what a great work he's got. You should be on receiving his monthly report in the mail, or those reports are available outside. Dan McLeod was there this year. It's not like we don't know what's happening in the mission work. Dan McLeod was over there, and what a great, great work he's done. And Joey was here this year and gave us a report about the things that were happening there and about the new baby they've got. I think the baby's just a very few months old that's out there. And just imagine giving up his family and his parents and her parents, giving up the grandchildren just so that we can be a part of carrying this gospel out into all the world. Well, do we have to talk about Robert Martin? Isn't Robert one of a kind? And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the providence of God brought Robert Martin into our lives? You know, I know this church loves Robert. He's been out there 30 years in the South Pacific. As a result of his effort primarily and the efforts of some others there, of the 22 nations, island nations that are there, we've been a part of evangelizing 17 of those 22 nations. Can you believe that? This may sound real something, but little old Palm Beach Lakes did that. And it's not just us. It's what we give and what others give and what others give and everything. Folks, that's what Mission Sunday is all about. And we ought to be thrilled about the great things that are happening there in the South Pacific. And we continue to make monthly contributions to Robert. And we rejoice at the work that is being done out there. And we ought to be really, really thankful. We've talked a lot about Apologetics Press, and we don't want to spend too much time talking about that, but we add that to the work that we're doing. We've been a part of that work since Bert Thompson came in 1986, and we've been the overseeing congregation since 2004. And you'll recognize the picture of Dave and Eric and Kyle, and then there's brother Moses. He's the Hispanic brother that's there. And so much of that work that's being done there is being translated into Spanish. And how thankful we ought to be that we're a part of that. They got the website. Last year in 2009, 4.5 million pages were hit. How many is that a day? Is it? How many is that an hour? How many is that a minute? And so here's that website that has all of this unbelievable information. You go back, David, to that previous slide, and I failed to point out that these guys are out conducting seminars, and down at the bottom it says 87 cities in 19 states in one foreign country. And we're so much a vital part of Apologetics Press. That's what Mission Sunday is all about, guys. And you look at what they did in 2009. They produced two DVDs and 12 tracks and a Bible correspondence course. They printed. There are so many children's books that come out. There's that television program called Digger Doug that is on gospel broadcast. And there are all of the things that are done. I wish I had time, a whole sheet of things that they've produced this year. Folks, it's a great joy to be a part of Palm Beach Lakes. It's such a great, great joy. And what about our Spanish work here? That's also a part of Mission Sunday, and we rejoice that the good things that are happening in the Hispanic work. It's a fluid congregation because people move in and they move out, but we are very much aware of all the things that are happening, and there are some great things that are happening now as the Hispanic brethren are meeting. They met last Sunday. They're going to meet again this Sunday to talk about how can they stand on their own more than what they're standing on their own. See, that's the way you do mission work. You don't just forever pour money down to a bottomless pit. You try to give it to them, and the technical term is autonomous, to govern themselves and take care of themselves, and that's exactly the road we want to head down in relationship to this Spanish work. There's some great things that are happening there, and we ought to really, really be thankful for it. And we can't put everything on the pyramid this year that's not really a pyramid per se. But what about the work that we do with our teens? Guys, you know how proud we are of you and how we see you as a shining beacon that goes out and does all of these things. You look at the teen mission trips, and I don't know, is that 20 places that are there where our young people have gone and touched the lives of others? That's part of Mission Sunday. Now, here's the reality, guys. We're in financial trouble. This nation is in financial trouble. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Which means that every one of us needs to be very, very conscious of the contribution we're going to make on Mission Sunday. And I'm going to ask that you pray about it. God, give me wisdom to help me understand what I can give. You know, there are some individuals who may not, because of the business situation and job employment, they may not be able to give as much. And there are some individuals who are giving so sacrificially that it's hard to have an appreciation of how much they're giving to the Lord. They're making such great sacrifices. But there are a lot of folks sitting here right now, and I want to talk to you about it. God has blessed you. And the Lord is dependent upon you, whom He has blessed, who've given and given somewhat sacrificially, but you're able to give more sacrificially in this new year to help us reach Mission Sunday. David, I don't know who that guy is on the screen, or is he ready to come onto the screen? Let me tell you something that is really, really exciting, and that is, as a result of monies given, well, let's look on the screen and see about it. Isn't it wonderful to live in an age where there's so many technological advances being made? One of the challenges facing us here at Palm Beach Lakes is to make sure that we don't live in the past, and actually we don't just live in the present, but we're on the cutting edge of all the high tech that's out there to enable us to reach out and to touch the lives of the people in this area as well as to edify the church here. You remember how excited we were with that DVD that we used to introduce the church to our visitors and how excellent it was, the quality of it, and what a great tool it was just to be able to hand it to your friends and say, let me tell you about Palm Beach Lakes, and then give them a copy of that DVD. One of the things that we've talked about here at Palm Beach Lakes is, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a studio, had our own recording studio, where we could produce our own DVDs. Oh, they'd have multitudes of usages, special studies of Bible topics that we could use just to hand to other people. They're also the matter of just having instructional videos to teach, to train individuals who want to learn how to teach the Bible better, and maybe even a DVD about how to study the Bible. Well, what about a DVD that we could give to all the men to show the kind of work that they ought to do in public service to the Lord when they're serving the Lord in a public way in our Sunday morning, Sunday night services? Then one of the real exciting things we talked about was having that question and answer session that we have on Sunday night, to have maybe 50 or 100 Bible questions and answers available on the internet where people could just come in, find that Bible question, and get a 5 or 7 minute answer to that Bible question. Isn't that exciting? If we could just be able to do that and produce that. Recently, Dave and I have spent some time in a studio trying to figure out how to best do that. Well, I have some great news for you right now, and that is the studio that I'm standing in right now is not some studio in some public place that we might have rented to produce something like this, but it's right here in our own building here at Palm Beach Lakes. We have all the technological things that are there. We have the cameras, and we have the sound equipment so that we're able to produce all of those things. And then in addition to that, we are going to be able to use that green screen chroma key. That may not mean a lot to you, but it's used a lot in the television world. And if you understand it, you know the great emphasis and the great enhancement that it'll bring to everything that we're trying to do. It's a reality. We talked about it. We dreamed about it. And because of the monies that you gave last year on Mission Sundays and then the days that followed that, we're able to produce now our own DVDs. Mission Sundays are important, and I hope that you will contribute liberally this year so that we'll be able to produce even more things like this and meet the challenges that face us in the year 2010. I get pumped when we start talking about that. You just imagine, around the world, people have the question, what's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And for there to be a website called churchon95.com or pblcoc.com or bibleanswers.com or whatever the name of that site will be. And to have, well, initially 50 questions and answers, and then 100 and then maybe 200 that will have an impact. Imagine having a card that you could take to work and give that card to people and say, here's some good place to find answers to Bible questions. And there, right, produced by Palm Beach Lakes in our own studio, Bible questions and answers. The concept came about because a few years ago there was a program called Bible Call, where there were these Bible questions that were there. You'd call up the local church and there would be a woman sitting there at the church building, and they'd say, I want to hear tape number 46. Because somebody had handed them a question. They had a paper that had all the questions. It says, call and ask for tape 46. And they would manually put tape 46 and play it and answer to the next call and put in another tape and pull out the first, and on it would go. Unbelievable tool of evangelism. You want to go into all the world? What if this church, because of that question and answer period, along with all of these other things that are available. You want to have instructional videos to teach how to teach the Bible. You want to have instructional videos about how to do this or how to do that or how to do all of these other things. Because of your generosity, it's a reality. We're on the front end and we got some technical bugs we're still trying to work out, and we understand that. But I'll tell you, I am so excited about those things. What lies ahead of us? Just wait till next week. Just wait till next week, and we'll go back to this building once again and talk about the great things that lie ahead of us. Mission Sunday, two Sundays from now, and we need to have an appreciation of the fact that God has given us a message, and the last message God gave to us through His Son was, get the gospel to the entire world. May God help us to be able to accomplish His will. We now come to that part of our service where we extend the invitation of Jesus to encourage people to obey the gospel. The Great Commission says that if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to believe in Him. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Great Commission says it was necessary that men learn about repentance. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And when they went out and preached the gospel to all the world, there was a man who wanted to be baptized, but he had to verbalize his faith and confess that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And the Great Commission is to be baptized, go make disciples, baptizing them. If you want to be a disciple, you've got to be baptized. If you want to be saved, you've got to be baptized. But baptism is preceded by faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe with all of your heart He's the Son, and you've made up your mind to follow Him. When you do this, then you become a part of this great divine institution placed on this earth called the Church of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus. You can go to heaven because He says to those who've done these things, those He's added to the church, you be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And He doesn't lie. A crown of life awaits us. If you don't have an assurance of it, won't you get that assurance by coming right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?